from WCVB Channel 5 podcasts and SportsCenter 5. It's Take 5 with Chris Gasper.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Take 5 podcast. Today's guest, Patriots fullback Jakob Johnson. He talks about a very important issue, and that is the Crucial Catch program in the NFL, which combats cancer. And we find out during this podcast that Jakob, despite being an NFL fullback, which to do that, you have to be one of the toughest people on the planet. He's not even the toughest person in his own family. That would be his uncle Hans, who is a leukemia survivor. And also, Ellen, this Crucial Catch program goes back to 2009, but I feel like maybe people have missed it a little bit this October because there was a shift by the NFL a few years ago that at least changed sort of the visual way that we interpret this program.
That's right. I, watching this past month, was like, wait, what happened to all the pink? Like, why are we not wearing pink? Well, apparently in 2017, they switched over from just focusing on breast cancer to all cancer. So they have new uniforms, new ways of showing that. It's very, very interesting.
Multicolored logo, which is kind of cool.
Yes. And they have raised over $22 million since 2009.
Yeah. So this is a very important month for the NFL, even if it comes to a little bit of a close here. We also talked to Jakob about his really unique path to the NFL. He's originally from Germany, part of the NFL International Pathway Program. That's how he ended up on the Patriots. And we found out, Ellen, he actually has something in common with you when it comes to his football playing background.
Right. So we have a lot in common, I would think.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Me,
I mean, NFL player, you.
Germany,
guys from
America.
Germany,
yeah.
You're from Braintree.
Exactly. We both played flag football. I, however, had a career-ending injury
in
high school.
Football?
Yes, I shattered my collarbone. I have a plate with six screws in it.
Wow.
So I had to go to my plan B. He, thankfully, did not have to.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize flag football was so dangerous. So, again, that's something that Ellen and Jakob Johnson have in common. We were very fortunate to have him join us. Really, a very enlightening conversation on some very serious matters like cancer research and dealing with family members with cancer, and also some fun, lighthearted moments about his journey to the NFL. Stay tuned for that next.
Hey, Boston, let's talk sports. WCVB Sports Center 5, The Contact.
Source at MLB tells me.
Expert analysis.
That's going to be a major point of contention.
On air.
I talked to a high-ranking source.
And exclusive articles free on the WCVB app. Duke Castiglione, Chris Gasper, Bob Halloran, and special correspondent Mike
Once
Lynch.
Again,
the strongest team covering Boston's teams.
The only game in town.
WCVB Sports Center 5 on Boston's news leader.
All right, as promised, we're joined by Patriots fullback Jakob Johnson. He's here to share his story, his family's story about the Crucial Catch program in the NFL. Jakob, thanks for joining us today here on the Take 5 podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your uncle and what he has had to overcome with leukemia and what this Crucial Catch program that the NFL has had since 2009, raising more than $22 million, to fight cancer means to you as an NFL player?
Oh, well, my uncle's name is Hans, right? And so obviously he is still back home in Germany. And he's just a real different kind of guy. He always has been. When he was younger, he studied nuclear physics. And I think that might have been part of why he ended up, having to deal with cancer and his journey, because he was telling us that back then they were not very concerned about exposure to radiation and things of that nature. So he actually started off with a diagnosis that's probably even worse than leukemia. He had a form of MDS. Essentially, there was something wrong with his blood-producing cells. And at first, doctors were telling him that there's currently no treatment for his form of that syndrome. So he actually got lucky when his specific symptoms turned into leukemia, right? So he started off with MDS, then that turned into leukemia. So now it was something that was treatable. So to him, leukemia was essentially a step up from having no possibility of a cure. And he obviously went through chemotherapy. He needed two rounds of transplants, stem cell transplants, to help him through that. The first transplant didn't take, and he was very fortunate that he found a donor who not only gave him the first transplant, but went back for a second round after the first one didn't work. And then he made a miraculous recovery, and he's still here today. He's still kicking and doing his thing. Yeah.
Wow. Now, what does he think of you playing in the NFL, and does he watch you play, and is he aware of, I know obviously it's Germany, and what happens with Crucial Catch is for the American Cancer Society, but cancer affects people all over the world. What does he think of this Crucial Catch program and saluting cancer patients and cancer survivors like himself?
Well, first of all, he probably never heard of American football before I started playing, obviously, you know, being that he's a real German guy, but he's really excited now, you know. I'm not sure if he understands all the rules, but he understands enough to be excited on and stay up on Sundays and watch the games with the rest of my family. And you know, when I kind of explained to him, because I had to kind of go back to him to give some of the details of the story again, because I was a young kid at the time, and I just remember kind of visiting him in the hospital and him becoming real skinny all of a sudden, and then a couple months later he was right back out of the hospital. But when I spoke to him, he was just like that is real important, you know, what's going on, what the NFL is doing, because we don't have those type of kind of public awareness programs in Germany, and it's kind of more something that families have to deal with on their own. So for the NFL to use their big platform and to show a highlight on that and to support families and to support research is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And the NFL's had this program since 2009, Crucial Catch. You know, October is always the month for that. And the program has expanded over the years. In the beginning, it was mainly focused on breast cancer, but it has expanded to include all types of cancers. What's the response in the locker room when you get to this month, when it's October and Crucial Catch? Do guys share their personal stories, or do they look forward to getting that gear? It used to be the pink gear. That might have been before you were in the league, and now it's sort of multicolored gear. But what's it like in the locker room when we get to October and there's the Crucial Catch program, and you see the hats and the gloves and stuff like that on the sideline?
Well, the gear, I think they're doing, of course, a great job with. You know, the gear is awesome. You got the multicolored stuff, but then the fact that the gear has a meaning. You know, that every color stands for a type of cancer, and just to see kind of another form of connection. You know, because there are guys in the locker room, obviously, who have family members who've had to deal with cancer, and they're fans in the stands or at home every weekend who have family members who have dealt with cancer or might have had cancer themselves and are survivors. And I think it's just another way to bring everybody together for a good cause.
Normally, there's a salute to fans who are dealing with overcoming cancer, and they allow those people out on the field. And unfortunately, this year with the pandemic, we're unable to do that. Do you miss that aspect of it, being able to see the actual survivors and patients and being able to salute them? And that's that sort of aspect for you guys as players and also the fans being able to salute them.
Well, I think it's, of course, a thing every time. It makes it more tangible, you know, when you see the people affected, you see the people at the games who might have dealt with cancer and made it through. But the message is the same, you know, and the symbol is the same, and I'm sure that the support that the league is giving to the different charities and foundations is going to remain the same. And then, you know, coronavirus is just something that we all have to deal with right now, and maybe it's better that people who might still deal with a compromised immune system or who might still be in the fight against cancer, you know, that we protect them right now, and we make the right decisions for everybody, even the vulnerable people in our community.
No, I absolutely agree with that. I think that that's an excellent point. You know, obviously a lot of people are immunocompromised, and we're all trying to get through this pandemic the best that we can and protect those who are immunocompromised. It's always an emotional moment, a cool moment. I've covered the league since 2006 when they do bring these patients and survivors out on the field to be saluted. I wanted to bring in my producer here, Ellen Fleming.
I think your story especially is just so interesting, and something that just struck me was that you said in Germany they don't do widespread campaigns like this, but you just were telling us about your uncle Hans and how he is a German guy through and through. Are they watching you over here being like, what is all this? What's going on?
Well, the NFL has done a really good job in recent years, you know, bringing the game overseas. You know, there are much more options now for people to tune in. You have the Game Pass. You have NFL games in German free TV, which is something that was never available when I was growing up in Germany. You know, we had to find secret ESPN streams somewhere in the dark web, you know, if we wanted to watch NFL games. So I think the game is growing, you know. I think the game is growing all over the world. I'm a product of the International Pathway Program, which is dedicated to, you know, to give extending opportunities to international players. And I think you've seen that every country that has been represented in that international pathway, may it be Australia, Brazil, China, even. I think the game is growing over there, and people are tuning in.
Yeah, when you mentioned this, it's really interesting. You're talking about finding like dark web streams of games and stuff. When did you first play American football?
I first started playing flag football in, I want to say 2007. Yeah, so long time ago, and back then, it was even hard just to find a copy of the Madden PlayStation games. Like, I remember the first Madden I played was, I think, Madden 2009, which my best friend at the time got from his neighbors who were working for the military in Germany at the time. So they had to bring Madden from the military base, buy it there, and then brought it out to us kids. So yeah, it's a different time now. You know, now you have highlights available in German. You have German commentators. You have former players. I mean, even former Patriots like Sebastian Vollmer, who are great ambassadors for the game over there. So times are changing. You know, everything is coming more connected.
Yeah, and you're a big part of that, obviously, too. So 2007, Patriots fans remember that year. It was a year of extreme joy and then extreme pain, obviously, as they weren't able to complete the undefeated season. Were you able to watch that Super Bowl, and were you aware of the Patriots at the time in 2007?
Yeah. So my football team in Germany, the Stuttgart Scorpions, they traditionally host a Super Bowl party every year. And that was actually, I think, the first year that I was allowed to go to the Super Bowl party. It took a lot of convincing my mom to let me go. And because, you know, the Super Bowl over there at the time was, I think it might have started at 2 a.m. and at least went until like 3 or 4, and 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, something like that. But yeah, I remember watching that game against New York Giants.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, dramatic finish, you know, but it was one of my first clear memories of actually watching a Super Bowl.
So what is that like? You remember watching that Super Bowl and Bill Belichick was on the sideline, and now Coach Belichick is your coach and he's breaking down, you know, what you have to do each week. I mean, what is that like to go from where you were in Germany up at, you know, 3 a.m. watching Bill Belichick coaching the Patriots to actually playing for him in the NFL?
Well, you know, I think, I mean, of course, if you take a step back and you look at your life like from a bird's eye view, you'll always find like kind of crazy things like that. I mean, there are guys, you know, on that team who are still around today, you know, so it's of course very cool. Very honored to be here, but in my day-to-day procedure, you know, I can't look at the big picture. I'm worried about the here and now, what I have to do my job every week, and what I can do to get better and help the team, you know. So I think that type of reflection is going to wait until you know, I'm done with football. Football is done with me.
Let me ask you about your time in Jacksonville in high school. You know, how big was that to you being able to go to Tennessee and ultimately play in the NFL? And you mentioned your team, the Stuttgart Scorpions. I know you played for them, obviously. But yeah. What's the timeline sort of, you know, so did you play for them like in a youth sort of thing and then go to Jacksonville and play high school football in America?
So I started with flag football for the Stuttgart Scorpions, eventually elevated to the tackle football team. For the youth team. So in Germany, you have flag football, which it was at the time, it was, you had to be 15 years old to start tackle football. Then anybody between the ages of 15 and 19 would play on the youth team. And then there was the adult team, obviously. So I played on the youth team, then came over to Jacksonville, played one season of high school football there for the Reball Trojans.
What was that like? Just playing American high school football. What did you, and how was it different from Germany?
Well, football was still football. I think the biggest difference was culturally, you know, going from Germany, very, you know, safe and you know, kind of almost boring environment to like a inner city school in Jacksonville. You know, I was fortunate that I had family in the city and cousins who could show me the ropes and kind of what to do, what not to do. But definitely a big difference there. And then from transitioning from there to college, of course, was another step. But then after my career in Tennessee wrapped up, I went back home to Germany, you know, and I played for the Stuttgart Scorpions adult team for one season that summer, and then received an invitation to join the international player pathway, trained up in Florida that spring, and then ended up with the Patriots that April a year ago. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And you weren't always a fullback, right? You played the other side of the ball.
Yeah. I played linebacker most of my early career, and then made the transition at Tennessee over to tight end, and then the fullback in the international program.
Wow. So you and Coach Mayo, who's you know, on the other side of the ball, the inside linebackers coach, do you guys ever talk about Tennessee volunteer football?
Yeah, not many good talks recently. You know?
Well, I didn't want to bring that up. I was trying not to bring that up, man. I was trying to, you know, just keep it nice and just, you know.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, with so many guys that played for other SEC teams, of course, on the team, there's a weekly, you know, kind of talk on Saturdays generally of you know, who's beating who, who's looking better, but you know, Tennessee is still in the process of figuring it out.
I once asked a player who used to play for the Patriots in the backfield like you, he was more of a tailback, but Patrick Pass, when I first started covering the NFL, he was playing for the Patriots. I said, Patrick, how come there are so many guys from the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, and the NFL? And he looked at me and he goes, come on, man, it's the next best thing to the league. How much did playing in the SEC help prepare you for this amazing transition you've made in terms of starting out in German flag football, you come here, now you play in the SEC, and obviously you went back to Germany, and then you're in the international pathway program. But how much did the SEC help prepare you for the NFL?
The most important thing is the lessons you learn and who you become during your journey. You know, like I think playing in the SEC, the kind of expectations, the fans, the level of coaching, and the level of execution that's required, the physicality of the season. I think there are just a lot of factors in SEC football that are very similar to the NFL. You know, the Tennessee Volunteer fan base is a very dedicated fan base, but they will also let you know, you know, if they feel like you're messing up. And then the same with the coaches. I think it's just the type of environment, the kind of, you know, like you don't really have a lot of opportunities to mess up in the SEC. Either you do your job, you know, you win those games, or you don't. And I think that's just very comparable to the NFL. There's not a lot of space to mess up.
Can you explain for people that don't know, you know, what the NFL International Pathway Program is? And can you tell me how you heard about it? Because it's still a fairly new program.
Sure, yeah. So the NFL International Pathway Program, essentially, they have scouts, which scout athletes from all over the world. Doesn't even have to be football players necessarily. They also scout rugby players and just the different leagues all over the place. And then bring in the 8 or 10 most promising candidates, take them to Florida, train them there for a good 3 months, and then they have the International Player Pro Day, which is essentially just similar to any college's pro day, where you can kind of show yourself in front of NFL scouts. And the added benefit of that program is that each year there's a different division in the NFL where 4 of those players get assigned to. So this season it's the Washington, New York, Dallas, and the Eagles.
So they do it by division.
Yeah, they do it by division. And if you are one of those 4 international players, the team can decide to place you on an international exemption spot on their practice squad. So you would be on the practice squad. You don't count against the team's roster and practice squad limits. And the team have the opportunity to do that for 2 years in a row. Only drawback, if they do place you on the exemption, they're not allowed to activate you that same season. But I think that's a very smart thing because it allows players who might come from rugby or who might come from a league who's of course not as professional as the NFL to grow, to learn on the practice squad, and then to make a push to make the team once the team determines that they're ready.
And that's really your story. You know, you played last year. You came here on that pathway exemption, yeah. And then you ended up playing in 4 games last year. Was that a goal of yours? Was that expected? Was there a point last year where you thought, wow, I might get off the exemption and be able to actually be on the roster and be activated on game day?
For me, myself, the way that I approached training camp and everything, I just wanted to compete and get better and then let the chips fall as they may. You know, that was kind of my mindset. I didn't want to spend time worrying about things I couldn't control. You know, the coaches were going to make their decision either way. And when they informed me that they were going to place me on the regular practice squad, where I still had the opportunity to get activated, I was personally surprised, but and also honored, you know. But at the same time, with a decision like that comes a lot of responsibility, and I'm still trying to do my best to live up to that.
You mentioned that program. You did a wonderful job explaining it, a better job than I could have done in terms of explaining that program. No, I mean, you really did. You know it better than we do because it is a fairly new program. I'm not sure a lot of people know about it. You mentioned a lot of the athletes, and we've seen this before, guys coming from rugby, guys coming from track and field. So what other sports did you play in Germany, or were you just an American football guy from the beginning in terms of flag football?
Oh, no. I started off with soccer. Played I don't know if you guys even have that sport over here. It's called handball.
Yeah.
I played handball. Yep. I played basketball. I did wrestling for some time.
Oh, wow.
I have a bronze level lifesaver certificate. So I did a bunch of different sports. I was one of those kids who was kind of always moving around in school a little bit too much. So my mom was trying to find ways to power me out. And the job that got the sport that got the job done ended up being football. So I stuck with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because I'm sure it's an advantage to have some background, like you understand the rules and you have a background. As you mentioned, you played, for the Stuttgart Scorpions. So you would play, even though it wasn't in America, you had some experience with American football.
So while we're on the topic of you being a kid in Germany playing football, in America, when we're growing up watching football, a lot of football fans will have posters on their walls as kids.
Yeah.
Those are the guys we want to be like when we grow up. Did you have any?
Well, we had players that we looked up to, but we didn't really have posters. Like just because there wouldn't have been no football players in the local sports magazines, you know, it would have all been soccer players. So for me, when it comes to sports, if I really think back, there are two people that I remember. There's the goalie for the German national team, Oliver Kahn, who was like my biggest idol, real tough guy. And then football-wise, I think it was Ray Lewis from the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, yeah.
Who we all thought was just the greatest guy ever, yeah.
Wow. I want to ask you about scoring your first NFL touchdown this year against the Seattle Seahawks. What was that like? Take me through the play. And what was your family's reaction back in Germany?
Well, we called the play in the huddle, of course. You know, I knew kind of that the ball was going to come to me. And at that time, you just got to go over to execution. You know, we had practiced it, did it right in practice. So, and you just have to do it in a game time situation. And then the ball was in the air kind of slow, but then once you catch it, you know, you don't want to overthink it. You just let your body execute what you practice. But my family was, of course, super excited. It was kind of a late game, so with it being a West Coast game, the time difference is extra long, so a bunch of them didn't catch it until the replays in the morning. But all my friends were super excited, and everybody was really happy for me.
Do you still have that football, and what do you plan to do with it?
I do still have the football. I had to hold on to that. I couldn't give that away. Of course, it would have been, you know, the moment, that, in my opinion, would have been more sweeter if we could have went home with a win, you know. But I'll hold on to that. I'll put that in the cabinet somewhere and just keep that memory.
I have to ask you, because it's been such a unique season, obviously, playing during the pandemic. What has been the biggest challenge, in your opinion?
I mean, I think it's challenging for everybody, you know. It's probably challenging for you guys. You guys probably had to change some things around in the way that you do business. And, you know, it's the same in the NFL. You have to be extremely flexible. You have to be able to, they always use the word, it's an emerging situation or an emerging virus, you know, the things that the experts know change almost weekly, monthly, daily. So you got to be able to adapt and kind of still find ways to do what you need to do personally. I'm fortunate because, you know, I'm young, I'm pretty healthy. I don't have kids or immunocompromised relatives here that I have to worry about. So I can be pretty selfish and just kind of do what I need to do. But I think, of course, if you have a family and those type of things, it's probably a little bit harder. I think you just got to find ways to stay productive. And for now, you just got to find ways to get the job done.
Do you guys feel like now, after a couple of weeks where the practice schedule was very irregular, that you're back on sort of a regular practice schedule?
Yeah, I think we're definitely back in our regular rhythm, and I think that helps.
I know it's been a little bit of a difficult stretch, the last three games, first three-game losing streak for this franchise since 2002. You definitely would not remember that way back then. What is the current confidence level in Cam Newton and in the offense, which has struggled a little bit recently?
I'll be honest, I'm not the guy for big picture stuff like that, you know. I'm the head of the Jakob Johnson department, so in the Jakob Johnson department, I'm just looking for ways that I can contribute positively to the team, that I can get better, that I can raise my level of play, and I think if I keep doing that, and I know everybody else will do their part, and we'll get some better results here and feel a lot better soon.
So in the Jakob Johnson department, do you talk to James Devlin, your predecessor at fullback? Do you still get some communication, some tips from him?
Yeah, he reaches out to me every now and then through Instagram and especially before the season. The standard is high. The standard is high in every room here. You know, it's the New England Patriots. So I think the best you can do is just to stay real focused and keep working every day and trying to do the hard things right.
And what's the message currently, you know, in the building as you guys prepare for this big game against the Buffalo Bills, and how excited are you guys for this game?
Me personally, I'm really excited, you know. I'm excited every week with everything going on. I mean, three four months ago, we didn't even know if there was going to be a season. for me personally, I'm excited every week. The Buffalo Bills were the first team that I got to really play against last season, so I'm really excited to get out there and compete. It's the division games. I think it'll be a real good battle and a real good game this Sunday.
And just to bring it back to the Crucial Catch program, I do just want to mention here the NFL's investment in this program since 2009. It's reached hundreds of thousands of individuals, has supported over 370,000 cancer screenings. It's really a big difference-making program, and I think it's something great that the NFL does and that the players are involved in. And I wanted to go back to your uncle Hans. Will he be watching on Sunday?
I assume so. You know, he's still healthy. He's in good spirits. He's
very good.
He's a real vital guy. Like the leukemia was one thing. He has survived all kinds of things. You know, not to brag on my uncle here, but he's a real do it yourself kind of guy. He fell off a roof before. He almost cut off his thumb the other year. You know, he keeps getting himself into these situations. But what I love about him, he keeps fighting and he keeps smiling, and I think that's important.
And just, you know, for clarification, so is his leukemia technically in remission right now?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So, he is cancer free still. Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, when we're all past this, maybe next year at this time when the NFL does the Crucial Catch program, which is, again, it's the NFL, the NFLPA, and you guys as the players are really the forward face of it, and you guys do a great job promoting it. Hopefully maybe next year at this time he can come to America in October for one of those games and be honored along with the other survivors and patients. I think that would be really cool.
Oh, 100%. Let's hope, let's all do our part to get this coronavirus under control, and hopefully we can make this happen.
Jakob, thanks so much for taking the time and sharing your story, not only your family's personal story of cancer, but just your story of how you ended up on the Patriots. I think it's really fascinating. I think it shows how American football, the NFL, is becoming a global game. And like I said at the beginning, I think your path is really inspiring to a lot of people, not just internationally, but also here in America, in terms of if you have a goal and you set out to do something, you can make it happen.
100%. I mean, that's the American dream, right?
It is. I guess it's the German dream, too.
It's the German dream, too, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Good luck on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Stay safe.
Thank
stay
you.
Healthy.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
that's Jakob right. Johnson, fullback for the New England Patriots, joining us here on the Take 5 podcast, sharing his family's story with the Crucial Catch program, and also his story of how he ended up on the Patriots. One of the more inspiring stories, I think, on the team and in the NFL.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Take 5 podcast. As always, you can catch the Take 5 podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, we want you to go on there, subscribe, rate. It helps other people find the podcast. We'll catch you next time.